Amen. Thank you for the special singing today. It's been a blessing as always. All right, you have your Bible open to Romans chapter number 12, and I want to give a little bit of an explanation of why we were in chapter 9 and ended up in chapter 12. Chapters 9 through, well, let me go back. Chapters 1 through 3 deal with our sin, condemnation, dealing with sin. And chapters 4 and 5 dealt with justification, dealing with salvation. In other words, since we're sinners, well, we need to be saved. That's the only remedy of sin is justification, salvation through Jesus Christ. And then chapters 6 through 8 dealt with our sanctification, which simply means just set apart for God's service. And it dealt with our sanctification as it dealt with separation. Once you get saved, God calls us out. He calls us out for a purpose that he has for us in this life, and that's called separation in the Bible. There is an ecclesiastical or a church separation, and then there's a personal separation that God calls us to. That ends at chapter 8. In chapter 9 of the book of Romans, now you remember that we said the book of Romans was kind of like the Christian Constitution. It's written to tell us about our foundation. It's written to tell us about our interaction, about our future. It's written to tell us about our relationship with Jesus Christ. In chapter 9, 10 and 11, it's almost like Paul, he veers, and some people believe it's what's called parenthetical. I don't. I just believe it's a natural run through. But in chapter 9, 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul begins to deal with the nation of Israel. In chapter 9, he deals with Israel's past. In chapter 10, he deals with Israel's present. And in chapter 11, he deals with Israel's future. The reason that I am not going to go into that in our Sunday mornings is on Wednesday nights here at the church, I am teaching through the book of the Revelation. The book of the Revelation is certainly a book about Jesus Christ. It is the unveiling or the revealing of Jesus Christ. That's why it's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. In that revelation, Jesus is going to deal with not only the nations, not only the church, but predominantly with the Jews. And so I'm going to take up this teaching in Romans 9, 10, 11 in our future studies as we get into Revelation and talk about the tribulation period. The tribulation period is called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's a time when God is going to deal with Israel again. Right now, God has set aside Israel. Doesn't mean God doesn't love Israel. Israel is still God's sovereign and chosen people. And don't you ever forget it. You need to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Say amen. I believe that we, friends of Israel, are blessed of God. I get that from Genesis 12. But those that were cursed Israel will be cursed of God. Say, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. It's so because God said so. And so we'll take up with that when we get further in our study in the book of the Revelation. Now here's what I would like to do. When we get to chapter 12, Paul begins a new section. If you remember, I said there was condemnation dealing with sin, chapters 1 through 3. Justification dealing with salvation, 4 and 5. Sanctification dealing with separation, 6, 7, and 8. And then in 9, 10, 11, he deals with dispensation. You say, what in the world does that word mean? It just means a time that God is dealing with a certain group or a certain people in a certain way. And he deals with that in his sovereignty. God is sovereign. And God has set aside Israel for a season. But thank God, though they be blinded in part, it's just for a while the times of the Gentiles come in. That's where you and I get in. So I thought God owed us something. God doesn't owe you anything. All that you have has been given to you, and all that God has done is by his amazing grace. Amen. And so we need to understand that. But now we're coming to the final section. I'd like for you to write this word down, dedication. Because we go from condemnation to justification, from condemnation, justification to sanctification, and then there is this little turn toward dispensation as God is dealing with the Jews, or actually not dealing with them, so he can deal with the Gentiles, the church. And then he comes back and he says, now, let me talk to you about dedication. Now that you're a Christian, now that you're saved, and so I cannot impress upon your heart the importance of you hearing this teaching. Romans chapter 12 through 16 is some of the most important teaching you'll ever hear about the Christian life. It is so important. There are so many people that are saved who do not understand what their purpose is. What has God called me to do? Well, the Apostle Paul takes it up right here. And he said it all begins with a dedication. And that's what we're going to talk about just a little bit. What is in these chapters? Let me give you some overview that I hope will whet your appetite. You talking about some good, sound, biblical content, brethren, Romans 12 through 16 is absolutely packed full of practical, dutiful living. It's how to translate what you've learned. Learned about what? Sin, condemnation, salvation, justification, sanctification, separation. It's how to translate what you've learned into living. It's not enough just to know. We need to do it, right? It's not enough just to know what God has said. The blessing doesn't come from knowing what God said or how we are to live as believers or how we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Knowing it in and of itself is not where the blessing is. Now listen, that's where it begins, but that's not where it ends. It's not until we take that learning and translate it into our living, then God can and will bless us. And so I want you to be a recipient of God's blessing. I believe that you want to be. There are people maybe sitting under the sound of my voice who say, I want to live for God, but I'm not sure where to start. I've been saved. Maybe you've just recently gotten saved. I don't know. Maybe there's someone who is joining us by live stream who says, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Now what? What next? Well, you've tuned into the right place because Romans chapter 12 deals with it. As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 12 begins this series of teachings on how to have a right relationship. Now, I think you would agree with me that our lives are built on relationships. As a matter of fact, the Bible is a book of relationships. Relationship with God and man, Adam and God. Man and woman, Adam and Eve. Parents and children, Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. And it just keeps on expanding and expanding till it gets to uncles and nephews and nations. It's relationships. And so if you learn how to have proper relationships, you will live a fulfilled life. The problem is that most people do not know how, nor do they intend on trying to learn how to have proper relationships. Now, it begins with a proper relationship with God. And as a matter of fact, that's what he begins with here in verse number 1. Notice what he said in chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. We're going to come back to that word, therefore. It's very important. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, watch this, unto God. How can you have a right relationship with God now that you're saved? I know he's talking to saved people because of verse number 1 when he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, now that you're a Christian, how do you maintain that relationship that has began? How do you maintain that in a way that's going to be favorable? And it all begins with the right relationship with God. But it doesn't end there. He goes now into the next important relationship, and it begins here in verse number 3. Look what he said. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man, watch this, which is among you. And he begins to talk about, in verse number 4, he talks about the body. He talks about, in verse number 5, we being many are one body in Christ. I believe he's talking about the local church. He's not talking about all believers, though we all are in the body. But you have to remember who this is written to. It's written, if you'll read in chapter 1, and we talked about this, to the church which was at Rome. Brethren, it is important that we as a body of believers in a local church assembly understand what it is to have the right and proper relationships with one another. We're from diverse backgrounds. Listen, you were raised in a different area. I know that the Faulkners were. It was West Virginia, right? They were raised in a different continent. Amen. Raised in a different area, come up different ways. We come from different backgrounds. And yet here we are in a local church wanting to serve God with our life. You've been given gifts. I've been given gifts. We've all been given gifts and abilities. When I say gifts, I mean abilities, talents in which to serve God. Not all of us are gifted with the same ability. Some of us, as the Bible teaches, are toes and feet and hands and lips. And, you know, we've all been given different abilities. Some can sing, as we heard today. I couldn't sing like that. Some can play instruments, as we've heard today, up here and there. We've all been given different gifts and abilities, and we must understand the importance of having the right relationship with one another so that we can dwell together in the unity of the faith. It's the only way that's going to please God. Listen, what do you think a community thinks when there's arguing and fussing and there's fighting and there's wars in the church? It's a very poor testimony. Amen. Very poor testimony. We've all heard the jokes and the jesting about the fighting down at the churches. I'm glad that Fellowship Baptist Church, by the grace of God, is not part of that jesting. There's a great unity here. But in order to maintain that unity, in order to build on that unity, we have to understand what it is to have right relationships with people. And so he starts out with having a right relationship with God. And then in verses 3 through 16, he says, I want you to have a right relationship with your fellow church members. Look at verse 17. He said, recompense no man evil for evil. In other words, what do you do when someone does you wrong? And he calls who that someone is in verse number 20. Look at it. He said, I want to talk to you about having a right relationship, not just with God, not just with your church family, but with your enemies. Look at verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy... So, now, preacher, I'm saved. Should I have any enemies? I don't know. You tell me. Do you have any? Huh? Yes. There's going to be people not going to like you if you serve God. You say, I thought when I got saved, started serving God, everybody would love me. Well, you're to love everybody, but that doesn't mean everybody's going to love you. Amen. And so Paul said, listen, there's going to be some people that's going to attack you. There's going to be some people that's going to do evil to you. And he said, I want to talk to you about having the right relationship with even them. You say, can it get any more in depth? Oh, it can. So he says, I want to talk to you about having a right relationship with God. Do you have that? He said, well, I'm saved. How's that working for you? Do you have joy? Is there love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance? Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you walking by faith? Are you fulfilling God's will? It's important to have that right relationship with God. Surely to heaven there wouldn't be somebody sitting in the church today that would say, I'm mad at old brother so-and-so, or I'm upset with sister so-and-so, or I don't like that family. You're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And you're preventing God from blessing you the way he wants to bless you. Because God cannot bless those that are not in a right relationship, not only just with him, but with the brethren. If we say that we love God whom we have not seen, how can we say that we love our brethren whom we have seen? Listen, if we have all in our heart, if we have unresolved issues, we must get those taken care of in order for God to bless. And even with enemies, and listen, it gets harder. Amen. Even with enemies. You say, well, I have some enemies, and they're attacking me, and I'm about ready to... Well, wait a minute now. We're going to see what the Bible says. I'm going to tell you it goes against your flesh. Can I tell you that it's easy for me to love you? You say, you don't even know me. I love Fellowship Baptist Church. I love you. Doesn't mean that we have to agree on everything. Doesn't mean that we cross our T's and dot our I's. It doesn't mean that we do things exactly the same. As a matter of fact, he's going to take that up in chapter 14, and I'll get there in just a moment. But here's what he said. He said, listen, when you love your brethren, you're no different than lost people. When you love your friends, you're no different than those outside the church. But now, if you really want to show Christianity, you want to show you're walking with God and you're filled with the Spirit and you've met Jesus, you start loving those that don't love you. You love those that won't love you back. As a matter of fact, you love those that want to do you harm. That's not an easy thing to do. And yet, we've been called upon to do it. That's right. Amen. You say, can it get any more difficult than that? Oh, it does. Turn over to chapter 13. He said, not only are you to have a right relationship with God, not only are we to have a right relationship with our church family, not only are we to have a right relationship with our enemies, we're to have a right relationship with the government. You say, I thought that was the same as our enemies. Well, it can be. It can be. Because there are folks in government of these United States of America who want to persecute Christians and churches. That's right. They don't like us meeting here. They don't like us because we will not fit in their form, in their mold. That's right. They don't like us because we won't bow down to them instead of bowing down to Jesus. Amen. And so he said in chapter number 13, he said this. He said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Plural. Not higher power. He's talking about those that God has ordained to lead us in governmental affairs. And he talks about that over in verse number 3. He calls them rulers. And we have a responsibility. And he said, I want to talk to you about that. What is the Apostle Paul doing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? He's saying, now that you're saved, I want to talk to you about relationships. Because your life is going to be built around relationships. Please, don't miss this morning. Shake out the cobwebs. Clear your mind. Get focused. It's important. You say, preacher, I want to be a successful Christian. I want to please God with my life. I want to live a peaceful and a joyful and a happy life. I don't want to get down to the close of my life and look back over and say, oh, would to God I'd have done it different. You don't want to do that. And so here's some good biblical instruction that says, I want to tell you how to have a right standing and a right relationship with the God of heaven. Who doesn't want that? I want to tell you how you can go to a church and love the brethren and get along and serve together and encourage one another and edify one another and exhort one another. Who doesn't really want that? I want to tell you how that when people persecute you and lie against you and seek to do evil against you, how you can love them. And you can render good for evil and not evil for evil. Who doesn't really want that? He said, I want to tell you what your responsibility to the governing forces that I have ordained. I want to tell you how you can interact and have a right relationship with your government without bowing down to them. And at the same time, by honoring God in the process. And then he said in chapter 14, him that is weak in the faith. He said, I want to tell you how to have a right relationship with people who don't do things the way you do it. I want to talk to you about having a right relationship with people who are babes in Christ. People who are just getting started. People who haven't gotten to some places in their life that you have or do things a little differently. And he said, in verse number 1 of chapter 14, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Who's the ye? Go over to chapter 15 and we'll find out. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. He said, there's a responsibility laid on you. You've been saved for a while. You've grown in the faith. You know some things about the Bible and about this Christian life. There's a responsibility that you carry. You have to be careful how you conduct yourself around those that are young in the faith. Amen. And so this is great teaching, not because I'm doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I haven't even began teaching yet. I'm just telling. I'm telling you what God said. You know, if you're here this morning and you're truly saved in the grace of God, these areas that I have told you that God wants us to have the proper and right relationship ought to strike up a chord in your heart and say, you know what, I want that, or I need that, I hunger for that, I need more of that, or I need a better understanding of that. And I pray that that will translate into you saying, I want to hear this teaching. Because God's Word wants to teach us how to live a fruitful and fulfilled life. And it all begins with the right relationship. Let's go back to chapter 12, and I just want to make one point this morning. You say, you're going to preach all that this morning? No, so just relax. I'm not going to preach all that this morning. It's going to take me probably the rest of the year to preach all that. And then I'll have to leave some out. I'm telling you, these chapters are filled with great truths that's going to help us. But it's not just enough to know them. And so I'm going to ask you to read over these chapters, beginning today and the weeks moving forward. Would you read over these final chapters, chapters 12 through 16, and would you ask God to teach you and help you to be open to the biblical teachings and the doctrine that's in these chapters? It's going to help us all, starting with your pastor, to be a better Christian. All right? Look at verse number 1 of chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse number 1. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul does here. He said, I beseech you. Now, we don't use that word a whole lot in our day. It is a good word, and I wished we would use it more. I beseech you. That word means I beg. I'm pleading with you. And this morning as your pastor, I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you that you would not allow anything or anyone to distract you. If you're sitting near someone and it's distracting you, you have my permission as the pastor to get up and move somewhere so you won't be distracted. And if you're distracting someone, I'm asking you to stop. Look at your Bible and look inside your heart and say, God, teach me something this morning that will help me be a better Christian. Because God knows we all need to be a better Christian. And this is where we all should say, amen. Amen. I'm begging you. Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, said, I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. This is important. There's a world out there they know nothing about Jesus. They know nothing about the church. They know nothing about transformation. They don't know what it is to have a changed heart. And the way we live may be the only Bible they ever read. Our lives may be the only life they ever see. And so we need to take this very serious. He said, I'm begging you. It's not just for your sake. It's for the sakes of those around you. And so he said, I beseech you. You see that word, therefore? It's an axiom, if it were. And what we're to do is see what it's there for. I beseech you, therefore. In other words, because of this, I'm begging you to do this. This is the fourth sectional therefore. I want to show you what Paul does here. Go back to chapter 3 and verse number 20. Romans chapter 3, verse number 20. He does it for the first time. He uses a sectional, not the word, but a sectional therefore. In Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. He said, therefore, I want to tell you why the law was given. It's the therefore of condemnation, so that you can know that you have sinned before a holy God, and that you have broken the commandment of God, and therefore you are separated from God. It's the therefore of condemnation. Then you get over to chapter 5. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. Therefore, there's our word. You see it? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the therefore of justification. He said, therefore, because you're under condemnation, because the law has condemned you and you're guilty before God, he said, now you can be justified, but it's only by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then you turn over, if you would, to chapter number 8. We have the third sectional therefore. There is therefore. now no condemnation. This is the therefore of affirmation. In other words, the assurance that when you realize you're a sinner under God's condemnation and you come by faith and you trust Jesus as your Savior, there's no more condemnation. Amen. Amen. And he said, I want to give you the affirmation. I want to give you the assurance. And so there's that therefore. And now you come to chapter 12, and this is the therefore, the fourth section of one, and it's dealing with dedication. Okay? It's dealing with dedication. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He said, I want to tell you how you can be dedicated to God and have a right relationship with him now that you're saved. Wouldn't you like to know? You say, well, I have a good relationship with God, and I'm glad that you do. I'm thankful that you do. I have a good relationship with God, but I want a better one. I don't ever want to get satisfied with where I am. I want to grow closer, just like we sang, draw me near, 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 blessed Lord. How about you? How can we do that? Well, let's look at this, and then we'll close, okay? There's something that Paul said that you have to do. I tell you, it's amazing to me. I never cease to be amazed at how every word of the Bible is so impactful. Every word. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, look at this next phrase here, that you present. Now, here's how you do it. How are you going to dedicate yourself? It's just interesting to me that he starts with the body. That you present your bodies. God's looking for some instruments of righteousness. Right? Paul had addressed this in Romans chapter number 6. He talked about yielding our bodies as instruments of righteousness unto God. But he said, here's what you have to do. If you're sitting here today and you're in tune and you say, you know what? I'm listening. I'm just not listening to you, preacher. I'm listening to God. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. I want a right relationship with God. Where do I begin? Well, if you're not saved, you have to go back and understand that you're a sinner and that you've sinned before God, but God loves you. Even while you're a sinner, God loves you, and he sent his son to die for you, and he died on the cross. He died not because he had done wrong. He died because you have done wrong. He died for your sin. He was buried, and thank God he arose the third day. And that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the way you get saved. You don't get saved by just turning over a new leaf or deciding I'm going to quit doing things or I'm going to start attending church. Listen, if you start doing better things than what you're doing, God bless you. If you join a good Bible-believing church and start attending, God bless you. But that's not going to get you saved. There's only one way to be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's the precious name of Jesus, who said, I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. It's the only way. Come to Jesus with a humble spirit, a repentant spirit. Smite yourself upon the breast, if you will, and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Bible says that if whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so here it is in chapter number 12, in verse number 1, he said, I want you to do what? Present. See, I want to live in a right relationship with God. I want my relationship with God to be right now that I'm saved. He's writing to Christians. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And he's saying, Christians, listen to me. Now that you've given your heart, now that you've turned your heart over to Christ, what about your body? He said, I want you to present your body. The word present there just simply means you offer it up. Have you ever done this? You see, the preacher shouldn't have to come and twist your arm and say, you need to serve God. Your parents, if you're a child, shouldn't have to twist your arm and say, you need to go to church, boy. You need to serve God with your life. Folks shouldn't have to come and just constantly say, you need to serve God, you need to do right, you need to read your Bible, you need to pray, you need to listen to the right kind of music, you need to do this, you need to do that. Hey, no! Should be something that you have a desire in your heart to do. Because you're saved and the Spirit of God lives within you. And the Apostle Paul said the first step must be the presenting. I remember in my life when I came to an old-fashioned altar and I presented myself and I said, God, I'm not much, but now that I'm saved, all that I am, I give to you. I presented. I've had to do it over again. I'll give God something, take it back. You ever done that? Yeah. Have you ever presented? Has there ever been a time in your life that you presented and said, God, I can't do this without you. I don't know how to pray. I just don't know how to do this Christian life. I'm presenting myself on the altar. Right? You ever presented yourself? See, God's not going to come to you and say, come on, boy, you're going with me. No, you present. Notice the scripture says, you present yourself a living sacrifice. I know the Old Testament sacrifices were dead. Say, I'd die for Jesus. Well, that's commendable if you would. I don't know. Maybe we'll be called upon it one day. But here, I don't see where God wants me to die for him. He wants me to live for him. He wants you to live for him too, as a Christian, in order to have that right relationship. All right? You present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, I'm begging you. Now you say, preacher, that's the what I should present. How should I present? Well, notice what he said. Holy and acceptable unto God. Just come to God and say, God, the best I know how, I give myself to you. I don't know a lot. Listen, I remember when I first got saved, you're going to think this is crazy. And, you know, living in America, I lived in the buckle of the Bible Belt. And people mentioned John 3:16. I knew nothing about John 3:16. I knew nothing about John 3:16. The God of this world had blinded my foolish mind. But I can remember when God saved me by his amazing grace, I just wanted to serve Jesus with my life. The best I knew how, I said, God, I don't know. I don't know how to do this. I don't know anything about church and the Bible and Christianity. God, I just want you to use me. Use me. And God, in his amazing grace, call me to preach. You know, that's a miracle. Have you ever said, God, I don't know. I don't know what you want. I just want what you want. Take my life and use me, Lord. Present yourself. Present yourself. All right? Present yourself. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, why should I present myself to God, preacher? Right there. Because of his mercy. Do it because of what God has done. I think I'm going to close right here. But I want you to listen carefully. Where were you when God found you? You didn't find God. He found you. Where were you? Can you revisit there just for a brief moment? You were lost. Lost. We use that word so much, I think sometimes we really forget the devastation, the depth of that word. Lost. Wandering through life aimlessly. Lost. Without help, without hope. No God. No God. If you look at verse number 2, it talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says not to be conformed to this world. What does that mean? I want you to listen to me. It means this. It means the world has a system. Now please don't miss this. This is where you were when God found you. If you're saved, this is where God found you. In a system that says you don't need God. We've got it worked out so you don't need God. We're going to teach you how to be happy without God. That's what the world system says. We're going to teach you how to do life without God. It's not working for them, because that system is brought about by the god of this world, which is Satan. And he has blinded the foolish minds of so many people. He had me blinded. He had you blinded into believing that you could do life without God. Brethren, you cannot do life without God. That's where I got found, in that system, in my sin. But I'm glad that God loved me. And he wrapped his loving arms around me, and he pointed me toward his son, Jesus. And he saved me by his amazing grace. And I look back over my life, and I say, look what God has done. Look what God has done. What about in your life? Do you take time sometimes just to look back over your life and just recount where God found you? See, this is what the Apostle Paul here is calling the mercies of God. Remember when you thought there was no way out and God made a way? The mercies of God. Remember when you thought that you were at the bottom and you would never reach top again? The mercies of God. You're a sinner, and now you're a sinner saved by grace. The mercies of God. Hell bound, now heaven bound. The mercies of God. Under the load and penalty and the power of sin, now delivered, set free, in a home reserved in heaven. The mercies of God. He said, I beseech you. Think about it. He said, ponder on it. Why wouldn't you present yourselves? What person, when they think about the mercies of God that's been activated, unleashed in their life, wouldn't say, here I am, Lord. I present myself unto you. Here's my body. I used to use it for Satan. I used to use it for sin. But now I give it to you, what's left. Oh, God, if you can, use this body for the glory of God. So here it is. The right relationship with God begins with the presentation of yourself. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to give you three things I'd like for you to do this week. As we learn what it is to have a right relationship with God. Number one, if you listen, you say, well, I don't have very good memory. You neither? I'd like for you to write this down. But if you don't, write it down up here. And if you're like me, you'll forget it before you walk off those two doors right there. So you might want to write it down. Number one, I'd like for you to get up in the morning, and I'd like for you to look yourself in the mirror, and I'd like for you to say, you're not going to be able to do this day without God. God, I need your help. The man standing in the mirror is going to foul some things up without you. I can't do it without you. Oh, I can. But I won't be pleased, nor will you, with the outcome of this day without your help. And so, God, the best I know how, I yield myself to you. Would you do that? And then would you break open the Word of God, and even if you just read a proverb or you read a passage of Scripture, would you get in God's Word so you can get some information, so you can get some kind of spiritual insight that will help you in the day? Would you do that? And then would you breathe a prayer before you go out into this big world out there that, if you're not careful, will gobble you up? And when you say, God, best I know how, I yield to you to guide me. I yield to you to speak through me. I yield to you to help me. Help me, Lord, is my prayer. That's three simple things that everybody in this room can do. I will promise you something, and if it doesn't work, I want you to come. I mean this when I say it. If you begin every morning next week between now and Sunday, and you get back next Sunday and you say, preacher, I tried it, didn't work, I want you to come tell me. It is going to make a difference in your life. You say, I already do that. Well, you keep doing it then. You keep doing it. Because I'd like for some people to stand up and testify and say, I tell you what, if since I began yielding myself, presenting myself to God, presenting myself to Him, getting in His Word, the law of the Lord is perfect, brethren. It's perfect. We need God's Word. Getting in His Word, praying, depending on God in prayer. You do those three simple things, and you watch how it changes your life. It'll take you every bit of 20 minutes to do that. You say, is that all? Well, you could spend 30 if you'd like. You spend 20 minutes and you do those three things, you will be amazed at what God will do in your life. Every day. You say, what if I forget a day? Well, if you're driving down the road and you say, oh, man, I forgot. Tell God right there, God, I'm sorry, I forgot. I'm forgetful that way, Lord. Amen? I'm forgetful that way. I got up and I woke up in a rush and I just, you know, and God, I'm sorry. You say, well, I'll just wait till the next morning. Don't you do that now. That's like sinning and saying, I'll wait till the night to confess it. You confess your sin right when you sin. Amen. Did you get that? Let's bow our heads together.